It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2019, at 7:01 PM. We are meeting today in Deerfield's Community Center. We are going to start with a scouts here today. Would you like to lead us in the pledge? I'm putting you on the spot. You don't have to if you don't want to. Okay.
Sure.
Tell me your last name. Okay. We are going to start then with a pledge led by Mr. Allmer there, and then an invocation by Councilmember Miller. So if you would come up to the microphone so everybody can hear you, and we'll follow your lead.
We stand. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to gather as a community this night. We are grateful for this wonderful community. Privilege and blessing it is to be a part of it, experience its beauty and resources and safety. We're grateful for our rights and for the freedoms we enjoy. So we ask a blessing upon this meeting that minds will be clear, that we will, as council members, be inspired to make decisions that are the best for our community and its residents, that we'll be wise stewards of the resources of this community, that we can continue to make Deerfield a wonderful place for us to reside. It's a great name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
I need approval of the agenda for tonight.
I will move that we approve tonight's agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Atherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. We will move on to public comment. So I do have several people that have signed up to speak during public comment, and you'll have the option of either speaking now, or if you'd like to wait until we're discussing that item, you can hold your comment for that moment. So I will ask you as I read through this list. First one is Julie Sessions. And when you come up to speak, if you can just start off with your name and your address, and then you'll have 3 minutes.
Sorry, we have a question.
We didn't know to sign up.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hello, my name is Julie Sessions. I'm at 9611 North Overture Lane. For the past 2.5 years, and for the 15 years before that, I lived on Dorchester Drive, which is a couple blocks north of that. Thank you for being here, and thank you, Mayor, for your thoughtful and respectful communication. I really appreciate that. Last time when I was here, I mentioned that my husband was in a softball game over where the Alpine Roundabout is. There's a baseball diamond there, just right on the turf property, and one of the foul balls went through a windshield. And so I talked about this baseball, where it currently is with diamond, being a safety issue for not only cars passing right by there, because I took pictures of the fences, and they had very high fences, just a very small area where the fence is a little bit lower. And also, it seems quite a bit farther than the plans look that I looked at. But I just mentioned that not only are the cars passing by an issue, but also people walking there, kids going back and forth from school, and people constantly walking past there on that road. But and so I learned that the safety issue that everyone took that very, very seriously, and I appreciate that. I've been heard that there were several people in the community that would like to dive in there, and so it was kind of brought back on the table, which I can understand that needs to be addressed. Everyone's concerns and feelings and desires should be addressed. I don't think that the safety issue has changed by no matter how many people want it, but another issue that I found also is liability for the city and the cost status to residents if there's danger to people or automobiles passing through there. And then we also, several people mentioned last week how when there's anything going on at Jitco, there's cars parked all the way up and down that road, and makes it really difficult to see coming out from there. And the more activities that are at the park, the more people that will be there, because it draws different people. So that, I think that's also another concern that I had. We recently changed the fence there, and I really would have liked to extend the concrete fence a little bit further, but when I went to the city building, they were adamant that that could not be done because of there needed to be visibility for safety reasons. Well, when there's cars parked all in there, there is no visibility, and it is a safety issue, and so I totally understood why they did that. We did the fence according to current laws, but I just wanted to reiterate that no matter how many people want something, if it's not safe in that area for the residents, then we need to find a new place for that, and I really appreciate all of you.
All right, next on the list is Dennis Dahl.
I'll wait till we talk about that.
Okay, great. Scott Richards.
I'll wait till.
John Woosley.
I'll defer to you.
Okay. Heather. Kathy. I'll wait. Okay. Tiffany.
I'll wait.
Garrett Beachley.
I'll wait.
Okay. Chuck Lethay.
Mayor, City Council, thank you for organizing this.
Sorry, I need to start with your name and
address. Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Charles Lothay, 4306 Harvey Boulevard. I'm right across from Deerfield Elementary and right next door on the walking trail, which we love and enjoy. So with regard to the sports park, Tom Harris and I have been talking about this and have talked to a lot of our neighbors, especially in the gated community, about this, and well, I just want to go through some of our concerns just really quickly. The one thing that we noticed is that the soccer at Deerfield is just overwhelmed. They never have enough fields. Soccer, everyone loves. Soccer is growing in popularity. It's the number one sport amongst youth in the United States now. Just in the last 10 years, when I was a kid growing up, no one knew what soccer was, unless you lived in a Latin American country, they called it football. So soccer is growing in popularity. It seems like we need more soccer fields, and that would be used by a lot more people. In other words, every family in Deerfield, every family in my area has kids there in soccer. So our view was soccer is, you know, it's easy, it's safe. Football is sort of going by the way because of concussion issues. Baseball is decreasing in popularity, as is golf, as is a lot of other sports, including tennis. But soccer is on the rise, and so because we have so much need for soccer, my feeling is, and other people I've talked to, that soccer would be have less impact, and that it's a growing sport, not a declining sport. I don't think anyone would object to soccer fields. The second thing related to this is, I'm not sure. I couldn't find the plans. I just looked again for what the park will be like or what it's planned to be like. But I think that we should have. I think we should have a referendum where people get to have some input on what the park's used for, not just a park up or down. Because a park up or down, if it was like Highland Park or Sunset Park, I don't think anyone would object. You know, it's got some stuff for the kids and you can walk around. They're not very big, but I think that a sports park is a great idea, but do we need it here? We've got tennis courts just 5 minutes south. We've got baseball fields, 8 minutes to the west. Sort of like, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but like a golf course. We have a golf course, but there are lots of golf courses around here, and our golf course continuously loses money. I just don't want another golf course thing where we build a sports park, and most of the people in the community do not want a sports park. The second thing related to this is light noise, or having stadium kind of lighting for soccer fields, or for pickleball, or for tennis courts, or for whatever is designed there, or baseball, that are on. And if you've ever lived near a stadium, it's like living in a room where the lights never go off. It's daytime 24 hours a day because the lights tend to stay on later and later. One example is the tennis courts out here in Pleasant Grove. they'll often, the lights will be on till 11 or 12 at night, there's no one in them. So I think that the people who live in the gated community, I live right next to it, don't want a lot of light noise, meaning the light, stadium kind of lights going. You know, something like Highland Park or Sunset Park, not a problem, they've got some street lights over the parking. The third thing is pickleball. I know we talked about it. I see it sort of like the hula hoop.
Mr. Levin, I'm going to ask you to just wrap it really quickly.
Sure. Okay. So pickleball is sort of the fad of the day, and there's a very small minority that want pickleball, but there's, you know, skateboarders. I don't want a skate park, I can tell you that. Having lived in there, they have a skate park, but skateboarders can say, hey, there's 10 times as many skateboarders as there are pickleball people. And pickleball has this enormous noise problem, and I'll end with, if you go to youtube.com and type in pickleball noise, you will watch a video that has caused many, many lawsuits in California from the noise. It is deafening, it's terrible. If you live within 300 yards or half a mile of that place, it's deafening. And then I'll finish this. We got Bridgestone Temple Shadows in Charleston in our area with a lot of elderly. I think we should think about them. I'm not there yet, another 20 years, but you know, we've got youth parks and we've got things for the kids, but what about some of the seniors? Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Harris.
Hello, Tom Harris, 9640 Charleston, right around the corner from that park. And my whole thing started with hearing that they're going to put pickleball. And that's what where I started. And I started calling, I think it was Mr. Lowe, about what was going to be done about it. And I've actually sent recordings from, they just put some in and Dye Park. I think it's that park, they just put four courts there. So I recorded it at 300 feet, 500 feet, 700 feet, bouncing off houses, which would be 900 feet, and you could still hear it. And that was my big issue, was the noise of the pickleball. Not so much the other things for me, but when I started knocking on the doors of the neighbors, not one of them wanted the park at all, especially the noise from the pickleball. And it is, you know, we talk about soundproofing those if it happens, because it is the most obnoxious sounding sport if you've ever heard it. And I love every sport. I've played every sport, and that is just a noise that you can play great. I don't want to hear it from 600 feet is where my house is from, and you plainly can hear it from that distance. So, but again, the more I started talking to neighbors, the safety, the lights, and the traffic, all that, which I wasn't aware of from my house, then I started noticing it, and I could understand the issues with it. But again, like Chuck said, you know, I think there's alternate things we can do with the property. You know, for a lot of kids, a lot of elderly, that can be done in that instead of pickleball and another softball.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that's here that wanted to speak during the public comment portion? Mr. Augustus.
So trying to get this to Nathan Northbrook Kelly, so I live right back here. So I've spent plenty of time sitting on your side of the table, so I just wanted to say thank you for your time and effort to listen to the residents and be able to discuss matters of the city. Right now, a lot of our kids that are in sports, they actually have to go either to Alpine or to Pleasant Grove to play baseball. My kid's one of them. The problem with Pleasant Grove and Alpine right now is they have so many kids in their leagues that they allow 1 hour of practice per week per team. And so you kind of run the risk of going down there and driving down, get everything set up, and maybe you can or can't get on the field to practice. So I would just ask the council to kind of readdress some of the things that have been talked about, looking at the plan and see what else we can incorporate, if we can incorporate baseball fields along with some of the other amenities that were available. I know a lot of residents have talked about it and expressed an interest in it, and so I would just always support that baseball should be something that's looked at, because we really don't have anything in this area for our kids to go practice on. We do have a baseball field behind the fire station. However, most kids in the 10-year-old brain can easily get it beyond the fence. So for them to go practice on it isn't really practical. And so we really don't have a good place for kids that are a little bit older that are still in either a competitive league or a recreational practice. And so my support is for the council to readdress that and see if we can incorporate baseball.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone I missed? Okay, we will close the public comment portion of the meeting. We will open it back up for this particular item. I'm assuming everybody here is for the park other than Mr. Richards. Is that right? Okay. So we'll bring it back.
To speak.
Yeah, so you're here to speak for the park. Mr. Richards is for another item. Okay, so we will open that back up when we're at that item for discussion. But I did write down the concerns that were brought up from the comments you made, so we can address those during the discussion portion. Let's move on to the consent agenda, which is an appointment of Jared Anderson, Marie Kraft, and Eric Scholder to the Planning Commission and approval of the minutes from the December 17th City Council meeting. Do I have a motion on that?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second, yes.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to the city reports and business, starting with Mr. Goodwin.
Junior Jazz and Ski Bus are about to begin, and both those programs are fall. We're thankful for the participation we received. We look forward to great seasons in those. We do have a retirement open house for Mike Carson, our front desk individual, who's retiring next week. He's been with the city for about 16 years. So if you want to come say goodbye, January 15th from 3 to 5, come say thank you. Jazz tickets are still available for the 21st versus the Portland Trailblazers as part of our Junior Jazz program. Come get tickets. And then finally, we've sent out a survey. Many of you have seen it, I believe. We want resident feedback on a number of things. The survey link was emailed out. There's also one available on the city website. We'd encourage residents to take it, participate, and let their voice be heard. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Anderson. I attended my Central Utah 911. We had a special meeting last week just to vote on providing benefits through the state for the employees. Central Utah 911, and that was voted unanimously. And that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Online,
I have just a few things. I did attend the monthly MAG meeting. A few of the things that came up then, MAG did supply their population projections for all cities in Utah County, which is what they use to base transportation projects and such through the new planets they're creating, which is through 2050. Interestingly, for Cedar Hills, they show us peaking in 2020 at 10,483 residents, which is only slightly above what we have now, and then beginning to decrease after that as our population ages and kids move out and we're built out. So we are the only city in Utah County that they anticipate shrinking in population between now and 2050. So that was interesting. Utah County commissioners are continuing to work on the service level agreement with UTA regarding that 4.25% sales tax, and are hoping that will be approved shortly. And then lastly, we have two people from Utah County who just serve on the UTA advisory board. Mayor Easterson of Linden was one of the ones appointed. Muriel was another one that was appointed, but she declined that appointment after the meeting, feeling like her business had a conflict of interest. And so MAG members will come together again, I believe it's next week, to appoint someone else to serve on that advisory committee. And then lastly, we attended the Legislative Policy Committee for ULCT. As they begin to talk about some of the things that will be coming up on the legislative agenda this year. A big one that was discussed is Senator or Representative Anderay?
Senator
Anderay. He is bringing forth a secondary water bill again this year. He did last year. It was not approved, but he's bringing it forward again this year. And the preliminary information says that the bill will require cities to meter all new service on or after July 1st of this year and meter secondary water for all existing services by 2030. And the bill that he is sponsoring proposes that cities finance at least 50% of the total cost and that there be some state loans and grants available for the other 50%. So what ULCT is asking for, and Chandler and I will work on this, but please feel free to send your feedback if you want, if you have any. They're asking for cities to please submit to them their opinion on adding metering to pressurized secondary water if we feel like it will or won't have an impact on conservation, and provide an estimated cost on what it will cost our city to add meters think the budget estimates, if I remember correctly from the LPC meeting, were about $100 million is what the state is anticipating. Was it higher than that?
I thought it was higher than that.
Yeah,
for our, no, it's got to be higher than that. Our city alone, we estimate $2.5 million.
That's true. And so that's one of the concerns, is it's obviously an unfunded mandate from the state. And how does every city accomplish that in a way that makes sense for them? So please send your feedback. Did you have something you want to add?
Yes, that bill has been filed. It's SB 52, if you want to go read it.
Yes. So we will continue to work with ULCT on that, but if you have anything you would like us to add to the opinion that we sent to ULCT on the linear and secondary water, I would appreciate that as soon as possible as the session begins in a couple of weeks. And that is all I have. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Nothing at this time.
Councilmember Miller?
Nothing.
Councilmember Bailey? All right. We will move on to scheduled items then. The first one, item number 8, is review action on appointment. Mayor Pro Tem, Mr.
Goodwin,
to present to you.
All right, thank you, Mayor and Council. The proposed Mayor Pro Tem this year is Councilmember Anderson. She's next in line. Congratulations. That's all I have.
Any issues or concerns or questions with that? Not, I will take a motion.
I move that we elect Councilmember
Anderson,
as Mayor Pro Tem, who shall have all the powers and duties of the mayor during her absence, disability, or refusal to act according to state and city codes.
Motion made by Councilmember Geddes. Is there a second?
I'll say.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, Councilmember Anderson. We'll move on to item number 9, review action on a resolution making assignments to members of the City Council, staff, and residents of certain boards, committees, and entities. Council, I believe that you all have a copy of that in your packet, and whoever makes the motion, if you could just include the change we made to have Councilmember Bailey serve on the Finance Committee. Is there questions on any of the assignments?
I will make a motion.
All right.
I move that we approve resolution number 1-8-2019A, a resolution assigning members of the City Council, staff, and residents of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah to certain boards, committees, and entities, including Councilmember Bailey being on the Finance Committee.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. It's a resolution, so we need a roll call. Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item number 10, which is a review action on an ordinance amending City Code Title 3 related to business licensing and home occupations. We'll start with a presentation by Mr. Goodwin, and then we'll open it up for your public comment.
Yeah, this is a follow-up from the meeting we had last month about home occupations, specifically as it relates to for home occupations to be operated out of accessory building. Current Harrison Code does not allow for that to occur. It limits home occupation to be inside the main building. So we got a proposal from a resident who wanted to run a portion of his business outside of an accessory building, and as a staff, we evaluated that and thought, how can we best bring this to the council? So what we decided to do at the time is to make some wholesale changes to our home occupation code. So Article B under Title 3 of the City Code, we're proposing the addition of a purpose which states the reason for requiring home occupation business licensing. And like I said in the work session, I do want to add accessory buildings there where it says home occupation is defined as an occupation or profession in which the associated activity or use is clearly incidental and secondary to residential use of the dwelling and accessory building, and there is no alteration to the exterior of the building. Goes on. Part 2 requires a license, but also shares some link to the state code that says that if the home occupation business does not have an off-street or off-site impact, then the city cannot require a residential business license. Many home occupation businesses still want a license, but we don't charge them. In those cases where they don't have an off-site impact, they're not required to have a business license fee, but they still want a license for tax purposes. What we've done is we've charged them $20 to set up their account and then $5 a year to mail them a business license. So that formalizes an internal policy that we've been following to the compliance of state code. Part three is the requirements and conditions of that home occupation. You can see that we've added accessory buildings, and also that any structure used as part of the home occupation. Part six, it says any structure that used as part of the home occupation must have obtained a building permit, receive a certificate of occupancy from the building department. We don't want rogue buildings being operated for commercial purposes. And then in part eight is 25% of the combined total living area of the main building and accessory structure. No more than 25% can be used for the business purposes. We struck out the 600 square feet requirement as I went through other cities. It became apparent that we're the only city that has a maximum square foot requirement. And then finally, we wanted to add a section on prohibited uses. Many of the cities have this section and felt that it was beneficial to the city to just outright ban certain practices for being used as a home occupation. And most of these revolve around mitigating two issues. One is that it creates a nuisance in the neighborhood, and second, it might create a potential hazard in the neighborhood. And there was some discussion in work session about the tattooing, so that's up for discussion by the council. That's up to you guys. And then the last few sections were there's exemptions for if you are under 18, you don't need a business license. If you're running just a weekend yard sale, you obviously don't need a business license. There's a revocation clause and then an appeal, so that anyone that feels that they've been treated unfairly, they do have a process that they can go through. So, any questions on the proposed government?
On 3.1.5a for the 18 and under, do you think that we need to add to there something to let it be known that we're anticipating this as a temporary use?
Most of them are, but not all of them are.
What would be a permanent use?
We've had in the past someone teach some lessons, but it's been under. So it's not like a lemonade stand. Yeah. You get in the news when the city goes to the lemonade stand and says, city, you're required to have a business license, child. And then you end up in KSL or something, and we don't want that. But there also are businesses that have been run by minors in the past, and this is part of the state code actually carves this exemption. This is not, this is just being compliant with state code. Say that you can't charge them a business license.
Okay.
They're very minimal. And so if it did create a nuisance, you can still work with the homeowner of the property to mitigate the nuisance, but the license itself is
okay. Let's go ahead and open it up to public comment. Mr. Richards, you wanted to speak. Okay. So council, at this point, discussion.
So we did discuss in work session about the tattooing. I don't see what kind of impact tattooing has on the neighborhood.
Like negative impact. Yeah.
Negative impact.
Yeah.
Usually.
An example that was brought up is just that we have some people who operate a beauty salon. You might be interested in doing permanent cosmetics, and that would fall under tattooing.
Right.
So
tattoos do general.
Things are.
Yeah. So I think the two courses of action here, you can either A, remove it completely, or B, leave it in and do some more research. Let me add this. People are not lining up to do tattoo parlors.
Right.
I find the striking it, honestly.
I agree. I'd like to strike it.
Is there anything else in the code that you have questions on, concerns, changes? If not, I will take the motion.
I'll move to make a motion to adopt the ordinance number 1-8-22019 and consider Hill City Code 3 related to home occupation business license and subject to the following changes. Let's strike tattooing from the prohibited portion of the code and add in part A the phrase or accessory building where mentioned. Thank you.
Action by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is that a second?
I'll second.
Second by Councilmember Geddes. It's an ordinance, so we need a roll call. Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Motion passes. We'll move on to item number 11, which is a review action on the release of durability bond for Bridgestone subdivisions plot F and G.
Yes, we've been working with the developers of Bridgestone, and they've submitted, they've passed their durability period, and at this point we're just releasing the bond being held on.
Any questions from the council? And I'll take a motion.
I will make a motion to approve the release of the durability retainer related to the Bridgestone Flats FMG.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We move on to our last item, which is a discussion on Harvey Park. So how I do this is Mr. Goodwin and Mr. Lowe will make their presentation. We'll open it up for public comment, and then the council will have the floor to discuss.
All right. Where we wanted to start tonight was kind of how we got from 20 years ago to today. As you know, the city's been trying to acquire this land for a sports park for nearly two decades. The land was under litigation for a while, and this was a concept plan in about 2010-2011, when I first started with the city. The basic idea of the park was originally both pieces, originally intended for both pieces, the Deerfield, where the Deerfield Elementary School sits, and then the piece we're currently discussing tonight. Together, they total 24 acres. Well, Alpine School District came in and condemned half this land and built this elementary school on it, and we're happy to do that. But we're left with this 12 acres here, and initially what the plan was, you can see, is, I apologize, it's a little bit hard to see, this is a bit older drawing, but let me explain. But there's three baseball diamonds, two Little League diamonds, Little League-sized diamonds, and that Pony League-sized diamond. Up here, this is all parking, and then you have four tennis courts right here. There are three volleyball courts here, and then two basketball courts. The rest is grass, open space. There's a pavilion right here, as well as a pavilion right here. This, I assume, would be intended for storm drain retention. There's not really much else you can do there. That was the design for a number of years while I was here. In 2017, the city finally was able to acquire that land, and we were under contract at the time with a group called Insight Design, who came in and we surveyed the residents of the community and said, what amenities do you want to see? And based on that feedback, we worked with Insight Design to develop the park. And this initial concept was, let me talk about that survey. 61% of the residents responded said that they would bond or tax for splash pad or water play area. Next up was a sledding hill. Like I said, the work session is not really applicable on this land. Neither is mountain biking trails, but tennis and pickleball courts were 25% of respondents said that was something they desired. And then baseball and softball complex, 92% of residents said that was something they would be interested in. But what was clear to the city, at least the staff, was that the majority of the residents felt that the priority for this park should be this should be the point initially. That's the splash pad area and the playground structure associated with it. So this is where we had to go in and change the design of the park. You can see that we eliminated a couple of baseball diamonds, but we left the bottom. We took this design to the city's 40th celebration last year, and we got feedback from a lot of residents, and there was a lot of excitement about what that would mean for the city. And based on some of that feedback we got from residents, some of the feedback we got from the rec department, we added a few pickleball courts to bring the total to six. There's two tennis courts, there's this parking area that was here, basketball play area, this is over, this is the grass field. Still, you have the splash pad, you have the play area, you have a couple more little open fields, and then this is all just green space with obviously a baseball diamond and soccer or football field. But we got some feedback from residents saying, well, we're concerned about the noise from pickleball. And we wanted to do our best to mitigate that somehow. And so you get to where we are today in the design of the park. And you can see that we pulled the pickleball courts from being pretty much adjacent to the street to being behind the tennis courts. So there's a little bit
of a sound barrier there as you leave the park. But also there's still six, there's still a basketball hoop, there's still the splash pad play area, and you have the field space in there. One of the things that changed though was the landscaping. We had to remove a lot of these trees along here because of the aquifer easement that we don't want any trees planted on there, so we had to remove some of those. But you can see this is where we are today on the field. And something that I think that maybe is enlightening for to understand, but this is the current civil drawings for the park, and you can see that, and it's kind of hard to see with the naked eye when you're out there, but from the northeast corner of the park up here to the southwest corner of the park down here, it drops 23 feet. So it's actually quite a bit. And so when we're designing the park, we have to go in and grade these surfaces to be usable for sports, so they have to be flat. So that means that you've got to scalp off one side and bring it to the other. So if you look at this grading plan, it's once again, I apologize, it's a little bit difficult to see, but out here, this is Harvey Road, Harvey Boulevard up here. But you can see these lines that are so close together. That's a berm. That's a 5-6 foot berm that's going to drop off from the road and kind of gradually go down into where the baseball diamond is. So that baseball diamond is going to sit down a little bit lower into the ground. It's not going to be flush with the street. And you can see that park still continues to slope as it moves toward the Burdock Canal.
And you're bringing that up just for the public. If you drive by there now, it doesn't look like 23 feet of drop. If you look at it, you think it's a relatively flat field. And so I appreciate you bringing that up because that does create some issues as far as civil engineering is concerned.
Yeah, it creates an issue because it makes it so you can't put the baseball diamond anywhere. You have to really place it strategically within the park because it's such a large amenity and it needs a big flat area. It's not as simple as just rotating and putting it down this way without at this point reworking all the storm drain, parking, utilities, and all this. We spent a lot of money to get the park to where it is. But let me talk about in a meeting we had on December 18th, one of the issues that was brought up was the safety of the ballpark, the design of the ballpark itself. And I want to speak to how that is. That was a concern for staff. So at that point in the meeting, I think the council said, let's hit pause on baseball diamond right now. Let's get some more information. So the concerns, as I understand them, were cars driving by on Harvey, pedestrians walking by RV, foul balls as well, and really, is our design here safe? So what we did as a staff was I went out to a bunch of different baseball complexes and visited them and took some measurements. But this is our current baseball layout. And just to give you an idea of what the dimensions are here, it's from home plate to the curb gutter here is 380 feet, which is a good hit. To give you some perspective, like I told you in work session, Yankee Stadium is about right there at the left field pole. So you've got a little slugger down there that if he's hit the ball into Harvey Park, get him an agent. But that only mitigates the concern. We talked about the possibility of putting a fence out here to catch balls or prevent balls from going into the street. I just don't think that that's a necessary amenity that the city needs to put in. It's not like the driving range fence where any weekend warrior can go down there and hack one over the fence. I can do that. It's really easy. For me to hit from the home plate to the street, I wish I could do that. But I wanted to look at how our field relates to other fields in the area. And so if you see the fencing that we currently are proposing, this is the backstop fencing, it's right here. It's 17 feet 6 inches high at the center portion. And it goes up 10 feet and then projects out into over the field to kind of be a barrier to catch foul balls. And then it goes down the sidelines, I believe, about 30 feet, about halfway down each baseline. And we wanted to go look and see what other fields in the area have been doing. So let me go through that with you. This is Lehigh High School softball field. And if you were to park your car right over here over the fence, from home plate to over the fence is 200 feet. So you can imagine that there's probably some broken windows there. Our field would be at the park out here to be the equivalent of Harvey Boulevard. Additionally, the foul ball from home plate here out to these streets, or these street parking, is about 150 feet. Is that right? Oh, sorry, 130 feet. The next one, this is at the Orem City Center. This baseball field, this is the league field right here. Keep in mind that the magic number here is 380 feet from home plate to Harvey Boulevard. From home plate, 380 feet puts you smack dab in the middle of this All Abilities Park. And I don't know that they've ever had a baseball flying at that park. That's basically it. From home plate into the parking lot here is 195 feet. So I'm going to keep going. Let's get that one. This is Orem Community Park. From home plate, once again, from home plate to this playground structure here at this elementary school, Cascade Elementary, is 233 feet. So once again, Deerfield Park, or yeah, the Harvey Park is out here somewhere.
Boulevard.
Or Boulevard, excuse me. Anyway, you can see a number of instances where they've got parking, they've got streets, they've got homes in this case, where, like this is, like I said, I think this is still 200 feet. You have 267 feet to this parking area. 380 feet would put you out in the middle of this main thoroughfare. Basically, my point being that I feel that the way that the park is designed with the baseball field is as safe as, and probably safer than, a number of other baseball diamonds in the valley. The fencing is very standard for a baseball diamond, and I think the space given to Harvey Park, once again, is adequate. As I look at the measurements on the civil engineering plans, this is a little league diamond, so from home plate to first base into the image base is 60 feet. But for me to hit from home plate up to the out just outside of the fence here into these cars is 120 feet. To get from home plate over the fence into this parking lot is 70 feet. You still have to go up over and over the other fencing. And then to this point out here is 275 feet. But this is just a field out here. So like I said, I believe that the way that the field is designed, the layout, meets safety standards that are established for building fields. That's not a concern. And then the other thing that we had was the meeting that we had with the December 18th meeting. The purpose of that meeting was to assign or to select a contractor to award the bid to begin construction of this park. We waited 17 years to build this park. It's important to have kids in the city who can play on them. We're excited about the development of this park. But one of the concerns we had is that the bid for the storage and bathroom facility was higher than city code allows. Our city code prevents buildings from being built without public approval in excess of $400,000 compared to inflation. And that building came in at $535,000. So staff knew that we needed to work with the Keller Construction and redesign that building in a way that got us into compliance with city code. So what we've done is changed that building in a manner that eliminated the basement, which is expensive in this case, and changed some of the features that the materials that the building is using. The building originally called for architectural concrete, which is quite pricey. And we're moving instead to just a split face block with some surface with some stick frame on the interior sheetrock, which will really reduce the cost of the building. So right now, the estimated cost of the storage and bathroom facility for this park is about $350,000. So we're excited about getting that under that threshold. But with that, we're also proposing that some of these amenities that were originally in that big proposal that we feel bring an aesthetic value to the park,
We're asking that they be removed in the initial phase. The Keller Construction bid on pavers around here at the roundabout. There's also a seating wall around splash pad, I believe that where it is.
Yeah. No, it's in the sensory area next to the splash pad.
Sorry, it's in here somewhere. But that seating wall cost nearly $60,000. And we just weren't pay that much for it. It would be a lot cheaper than that. So some of these items we felt like we could take out without changing the overall design of the park. By saving that money, we felt like it was important to go review that list of amenities. And so what staff's proposing, because initially this backstop fence on the baseball diamond was not included in the original bid. Keller Construction has since given us costs of what that would be, and we feel like we can easily accommodate the baseball diamond in phase one. So what the staff is proposing is that as part of phase one, we do include the baseball diamond with the derrick. We don't remove the derrick, put it in as designed. But also that three of the pickleball courts be included pending change orders. Now, anytime a project happens, you do run into some unforeseen circumstances that were not anticipated. What the civils call for and what reality is sometimes don't line up nicely. So we have to do some change orders. But we anticipate that most of the change orders in this project will be associated with the widening of Harvey Boulevard, where you're dealing with the location of existing utilities and right-of-ways rather than this open field. So we feel that most of the change orders will probably be assigned to the road impact fee fund and not necessarily the same fund that is funding some of these amenities in the park. So what we're proposing is that pending availability of funding, and it's fluid, but that we include three of the big pickleball courts. Include three of the pickleball courts.
And not six.
Not six. The last three would be in phase two.
What's our timeline on phase two right now, do you think?
It's a pending available funding, but no idea. It's hard to say.
So, Mr. Friedman, some of the comments that were brought up during public comment, but I just like needed to address one of the main parking. Can you talk about the parking at the park, both on Harvey Boulevard and within the park?
Yep. So the plans call for 130 parking stalls, which I've been down to these, school programs at Christmas where all the parents want to park and they're lined up all along Harvey. I actually think that the layout here will probably alleviate a lot of that concern here. We would get a lot of those parents off the street. But I know staff is willing to evaluate the problem. If we put this parking in and you see cars lined up all along this north side of Camp Harvey Boulevard, we're readily available to have a conversation of let's anchor right. If it's presenting a safety issue, we're willing to address that.
So that way we're not parking on both sides.
Right. So you were limited to parking on the south end of Harvey Boulevard. So parking, I wrote down all the concerns. Let me just go through them first.
So it's 130
stalls.
Total between the
130 marked stalls.
Okay.
Mrs. Sessions brought up the liability to the city on foul balls. For balls hit, we already carry a liability with the golf balls. We get balls hit in the windshields a few times every year, whether it's from the driving range or on Canyon Road. It happens. And we deal with them on a case-by-case basis. They're not that often. And they've actually calmed down quite a bit since we raised the nets. Parking and for activities, I think we covered that. Soccer at Deerfield, that was one of the concerns that, when Butch heard the last thing, I'm sorry.
Lundy, excuse me.
That's a big focus of this park, is that we do want more room to host some of these activities that require a field, whether it's soccer, whether it's lacrosse, whether it's flag football. So one of the features that's not going to be a permanent feature of this baseball complex is an outfield fence. So we'll have this grass area over here that will allow for the use of soccer, flag football permanently, but also this will all be open that can be used for those types of field activities as well.
Movable goals, right?
Yeah.
The goals
that
then move.
Yes, exactly. That's similar to what we've done over here at the Steve Park. as a referendum on what the park is used for, we've done a number of surveys. Let me plug in again the survey. There's a question that is really similar. This is what recreational activities do you want to see in the city? And I'll tell you that far and away, the ones that people want don't really apply to 12 acres of land. They want to see trails as well. They want to see hiking paths. They want to see the splash pad where it's regressing. But many of the sport amenities I'm finding are, there's certain segments of the population where it's 5 to 7% of the population want each amenity, whether it's tennis, football, baseball, soccer, football. That's what they want. There's an audience for every sport.
Can you address how long we had that survey open?
For another, to the 24th, I believe.
No, the one that I read to you.
Well, the original one, how sure are
they? It was 6 weeks that I could be on that.
The inside design one? Yeah.
6 weeks.
It was 6 weeks, but we had, I want to say it was like 600 responses, 6 to 700 responses.
There was, so we had the initial park master plan survey that just went over what, large parks, small parks, and we didn't even know if we were going to own this land at that time. But then also, after we took that survey and the landscape architect kind of put it to paper, we had our 40th anniversary party, and people came and gave their feedback at that party. Plus, it was put on the city's website and the Facebook page, and we got a lot of feedback from that also. So there's been several times, plus the Parks Committee gave their feedback, and there's been very many chances for people to get feedback, and people in this room, they gave feedback even a year later, and we tried to incorporate it even though we had changed the plans already a few times.
And then I have on here light pollution and noise and pickleball.
Let me keep going from my list. Lighting on field lighting is not part of phase one. And as discussed in the work session, it's very, very expensive to put field lighting in. Our bids put it at about $400,000. And as much as I love field lighting, I was the rec director here for a couple of years. I know Greg faces the same challenge and brought up in the work session, is that we play our flag football in the fall, and you have to schedule those games at a time when parents are off work and they can get there. You have about an hour and 45 minute window from 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock to 7:45 to play games, at which point the last half of the game can be played in the dark. But we make accommodations. Well, this will allow us to have another location or another venue where we can host those games, so hopefully we can maybe alleviate that concern without having to do field lighting initially. I can't speak for future councils or future administrations. I'm hoping I'm here for a long time, but I think that staff can compromise on the field lighting.
But it's not in phase one.
That it's not in phase one. We have no intention of doing it right now. There's no plans. So that's the field lighting over here. There will be street lighting, so typical street lights, and then park lighting through here. That's for safety, so as the policemen drive by, they can see goings on in the park at night. It's just smaller than lighting, so you can only box lighting for day out. But it allows the police officers to see if people are parking in the park at night.
Probably similar to what Deerfield has going 24 hours at night.
Right? Similar, yeah. It's not right LEDs, if they are, you can turn them down. But then the current plans on the court lighting is a little different. Right now they call for, I believe it's like a 30-foot pole that projects down onto the court. And what we've talked about is changing that so that it's box lighting, it's mounted on the fences, so it's not 30 feet up, it's about 10 feet up, and it projects down meeting of the court, and it terminates really kind of the edge of the court, so that you don't get light pollution into the street, into the neighbor's yard. Really, we have to realize that we're neighbors here. And when we do a commercial project, when they're doing a project against a residential area, we require them to show where's your light pollution going. Well, we should be cognizant of the same thing. So I'm sensitive to that issue. The pickleball noise, I think by moving it and putting up some fencing with the sheets in there, and then putting it behind the basement or the tennis courts, hoping to alleviate those concerns.
Talking about sound walls. And that's what every...
I gotta hold you. We have to wait for public comment to let
That's a good point. And I think that's something staff can explore is looking at other mitigating factors. I genuinely believe that there's ways to accommodate people that want pickleball because there is a segment of the population that is just passionate about pickleball.
We see a lot of emails
from to be able to do the pickleball courts in a way that once again is sensitive to the needs of the residents to the north. And then what was brought up was something for seniors, and I know a lot of seniors that love pickleball, so go check it out.
I'm going to go back on light pollution. One of the things we talked about during work session as well is the ability for those lights to be off at park curfew, because we don't, so that way they're not on all night long.
So the courts at Pleasant Grove, last time I was there, it's been a few years, but Vanilla Park, as you drive down Canyon Road, the first piece there, they have a little dial that you go in the box and turn the dial and kind of estimate how long you're going to be there, and the light turns on for 30 minutes, but you can turn those for 2 hours and just leave it on. If we do the lighting here, we'll have a feature here. We'll require ourselves to put it in that the lights automatically shut off the park permanently. So once the park's closed, the lights are off permanently. You need a mask to keep some sort of view on. I think I've gone, as I go through the list here, I think I've talked about each of the items that I have on my list. Which one of those things I was going to talk about? Mrs. Sessions asked me a question, and I want to just comment on that. On foul balls, we talked a lot about the home run, the 380 feet out to Harvey Boulevard. There's just not a way to capture every foul ball. So I think you have to position the field in a manner that catches the two standard deviations from the norm. You want to capture as many as you can without putting people at risk. So let me show you some of these photos. This is our Dyke Park. Over here, work that was brought up in the comments, public comment. So home plate here to my city car here, where I'm probably, 15, that's probably about 30, 35 feet from this fence to this curb. This is fairly close for a foul ball to be hit if we get a car. This is also our Dyke Park on a different field, different angle. You can see that once again my car is probably about 15, 16 feet, 5 feet of curb, another 15 feet of grass, and then the field. So I'm parked very close to the field there. And then this is Burgess Park over in Alpine. So from home plate, maybe even I can hit that car. That's not a very hard hit. That's a pretty easy hit to have. So going back to our park here, you can see that the fence, this darker line here is the fencing proposal. It goes down about midway through first base and home plate. This is not a spectator area, there's still a field. But for a ball to be hit here outside of the fencing and to hit a car about here, because I measure out these sills, is about 120 feet. From home plate to this field right here would be 105 feet, which is closer, but I think that's when you need to go into, we don't typically have baseball and soccer going on at the same time. Typically, if we have a soccer game going, it's top soccer, and there's no baseball because we're using all of this field space for soccer games. So this is one big soccer field, but these aren't the type of soccer fields that we play on. We typically play on much smaller fields, and we have to divide our field space up between as many fields as we can stuff on. So if you ever got over to the ski park during Todd Soccer, you'll see just kids everywhere, games going all over the place. So there's typically not a baseball game and a soccer game going on at the same time. That is your answer. Any questions from Mayor Council? Sorry, to kind of give you a lot of information.
We're going to open it up to public comment, and then we'll go back to council. So I'm going to go down my list here. Dennis Dahl. And just a reminder, start with your name and address, and then you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, I think it's already 6.2 for the Orchard Lane Mayor, council members, thank you for your time. Obviously, lots to consider about the park. Some questions and comments I have, just want to bring up to put on record. Parking utilizes 130 spots, does seem to be an issue. We, the residents across the street, do not want people tailgating into our neighborhood with the local gates. That's a concern. Crowded areas, it happens in the school, I think, all the time right now, that's an absolute problem. You know, with relation to the splash pad, pickleball courts, and things like that, I understand the need of having some of these amenities for the community. The problem will be, how many communities are we drawing into Cedar Hill? So if you look at the splatter, the pond is over in Pleasant Grove South, they're drawing from as far as Lehigh. People are coming to sit in that pond and fish. You go to Orem, splash pad at Orem, just pulling people from Orem, Provo, Pleasant Grove, American Fork, all of that splash pad. So the residents can't even use it. It's all taken out by the residents coming in from the communities. We addressed the light pollution, thanks very much for that. I adamantly oppose having lights out there as far as the field lights. It's just something we'll see if we can't control it. You made mention, I can't speak for future councils. People want to do that as a concern. We're going to be very vocal about that as neighbors across the street. As for a fence to stop foul balls, put it in your neighborhood and say what you like. We don't want that in the South Park or the fence there. So it's a concern of what can happen. Real question, in great presentation, great data, has it ever happened? Has the ball ever flown that far?
Sure, yeah.
Problem will be when it hits one of our kids or when it hits one of our grandkids. That is a real problem for us. So the reality, that's all you want.
Sorry, we need to be respectful. Sorry.
The point being, it can happen. If
true.
One of our children, it should be a problem. Or somebody walking by to some advice. But for people who laugh in the audience, I guess they don't worry about people dying. That's a big concern. You know, there's a couple other things too. Mayor, you may have mentioned that by the year, I forget what it was, 2050, the residents will be declining. So here we are building a park for a future state, not that far away, 30 years, will be declining in use, no one here can do it. So why are we building a park? Well, I get it, it's logging a lot of time between now and 30 years from now. The other thing, you touched on the foul ball concern with the kids. I mean, you can't guarantee there'll never be a baseball practice, a baseball game, a lot of soft game going on. So those are great things to throw out there for stats. I could simply throw stats all they want to, but it can't be ruled out as a possibility. So
I'm not. Sorry. I want to be clear that I'm not ruling it out as a possibility.
I'm just making a comment. Okay. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. John Mosley.
Good evening, John Mosley, 9498 Kenny Knights Drive. I was on the Parks and Trails Committee when we came up with the original design of the parks. So you can imagine, really disappointed that we're whittled down to one if that. The survey, I think, is an important tool we use to measure the, but I think it's one tool amongst other tools that maybe we should consider using when we're gauging the interest of the fans and what they want. I can speak to you as a baseball player and coach. Since I was a teenager, we are in dire need of space for baseball. We exist. I know people think nobody plays baseball anymore, but there is a huge population in Cedar Hills that plays baseball. And I can tell you for the recreational league that's divided between the three cities, Highland and Alpine contribute 10 parks. We contribute one park to that. So you see, we're not really pulling our own weight. We're kind of leeching off the neighboring communities with baseball. I spent the last year at the high school working with the sophomores, and I can tell you our development is not where it should be. We just don't have it here. There's so much competition with other sports that we lose kids. Moms don't want to drive to Saratoga Springs for games. How many times have we driven to Rose Park on a Saturday to play three games against three teams that are from North Utah County? Because we don't have parks. We don't have fields to play. I think it's consideration that it is a multi-use spot. I mean, the design and the safety issues that have been addressed by Mr. Goodwin, that's fantastic. I mean, that's spot on. You're just not going to see baseballs on Harvey Boulevard. It's just not going to happen. You cannot stop foul balls or community foul balls in all the other parks in every other neighboring community. It's the responsibility of the person parking there. The city doesn't have liability for that. So it's not on the city. There's no liability in your hands from the foul ball crashing the shield. It will happen, no doubt about it, but that's the partner's problem there. We are in dire need. there is a large population of us in the community that have been waiting for 17 years for a new ball field. Three originally, now it's down to one. So you can see, just understand, we need this in our community to serve our citizens. Isn't that kind of what we're supposed to do? So eliminating this ball field or minimizing it towards not usable for gameplay would be a real disservice to your citizens.
Thank you. Heather Caffey.
I'm Heather Caffey. I live at 9558 North of Bonnie Drive. And I wanted to come and just show my support for the baseball field. I'm a mom of five boys. My oldest are twins that are 14. They play competitive travel baseball. And my youngest is six. He is a special needs child. He's in a wheelchair. And last year, he had the opportunity to play T-ball for the first time. He used his wheelchair. We were at a park in Alpine. And I personally love baseball because it's a sport that my son, who is in a wheelchair, can participate in, as well as my children who have full functioning, healthy, able bodies. There's not a lot of opportunities for him in other recreational programs provided by the city. And that's one thing that I really enjoy and is close to my heart, is finding things that he can do and participate in with his peers, with other kids his age. So I fully support having a baseball field. I think it's an inclusive, positive sport and program. My kids who play competitively, one of them and some members of his team are here tonight. Several of them live in Cedar Hills, and they travel to Orem generally to practice. They, like John said, they play games in North Salt Lake against teams from Pleasant Grove because there literally are not enough fields here. As my kids have played rec ball and travel ball, getting field space at Burgess is near impossible. We've scrambled, we've been there, had a team show up. There's a game that was scheduled. You leave, you go, okay, where are we going to practice? Where can we find the space? And you want it to be someplace that's safe because, yes, if kids are hitting balls, you can't just find a spot of grass somewhere and hope for the best. You need to have a structure in place so that it is safe. That's why you do it, build a baseball field, so people aren't just going out in at Deerfield on the soccer field hitting baseballs. You want it in a safe area. So I fully support it. That was one of our draws when we moved to Cedar Hills 3 years ago, was that we know a lot of other baseball families here, and knowing that this park was in the works was something we saw as a positive. And I think there are a lot of other people, at least families that I associate with and know in the area, that feel the same. So thank you for your time. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Timothy Mosley.
I'm Tiffany Moosley, 9498 North County Heights Drive, and thank you all for your time. I appreciate all the time that you guys spend in the city council. Also, all the time that you spend on the park. You guys are in a tough situation. I feel like that everyone's concerns and needs are valid, obviously, and it's hard to address all of them. I have five children, from 16 down to five. And my kids play baseball, they play soccer, they love pickleball, they love basketball. My kids are very active, they will love the splash park. I am in favor of the park and everything it provides. Our neighborhood is full of children, tons of children. This area is full of families with kids that need park space. We do travel to a lot of parks in other communities. Because there is not as much park space here. So I think that having the park is very important. I am in favor of the baseball field. My kids play baseball. I love baseball. They love to just get together and play wiffle ball when they have a chance. And it is important to have the field with the fencing to keep it safe, like Heather said, because we don't have enough fields for them to play on, so we do end up sometimes in fields without fences because there is nowhere for them to practice. I can attest taking my kids. I have a 16-year-old that's on the Willoughby High School team. I'm taking him from the entire time that he has been playing baseball since a 5-year-old, that we do not have enough fields, that we end up practicing long distances away, and we have to, me as a mom, sometimes I have to go to the field before school gets out and try to save a spot because it's so tough to get a field to practice on. And anyway, that's it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Garrett Beekman.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, okay. 10-3 Central North Subject Circle. I got a question. What age groups
are you
playing with?
It's Little League, so whoever.
Oh, so you're not going to have to play baseball.
No adults ever play.
I need you to please direct your comments to the council.
Oh, sorry. You're not going to get 10 or 15 years up there. I don't know. I like to think these kids can hit the ball that far, but they can't. I hate having to drive to Alpine every time my kid plays soccer or baseball. It'd be nice to, you know, have an actual baseball field here, because they're not, they're just kind of substrate. So that's the only complaint. And you're not going to. These kids are not going to hit baseball across that street. I wish they could, for your sake, but that's not going to happen. I mean, it's like when we see airplanes come over the top of the mountain here, when you fly and we'll travel, we'll see. You can look down and see your house. Well, there's nothing stopping that plane from falling either. I think you have a greater chance of that plane falling than these kids at the baseball court 400 feet. It's just not going to happen that way. And then second, I had a question. You know, when the bike trail comes down and hits right there, are they going to be able to access it to the into the whatever trail that is right there?
We're not trail.
Is that gonna, are we gonna be able to hit through there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's cool. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. That is everyone I have on my list. Is there anybody here who did not speak during the meeting or come on up? Then just start with your meeting address, please.
Thank you, Scott Grigula, 4239 Joshua Lane, right over here at Mesquite Park. I just want to say I recognize the concerns of some of these residents. I am in support of this park. I actually agree with these fellows over here that we are in dire need of green space. The fact of the matter is, Highland and Alpine are growing so quickly that they will squeeze us out of court space, and they will squeeze us out of field space to the point where we will have to continue to travel farther and farther. Development and scalability of Highland as a city is growing insurmountably. The population of kids that are going to be coming into those markets, they're going to push us out because that's Highland and Alpine space. So, looking 5 years, 10 years in the future, if we don't develop our own space as a city, we won't have it in the future. We're going to have to continue to leech off, as spoken earlier, off of our, partners. From a parking perspective, I fully agree with the rest that we should make sure that our parking is safe. Providing a red line space on the other side of the street for the residents. The fact of the matter is, the ski park in the summertime is probably the most dangerous spot in the entire city because of the soccer games and the lacrosse games and everything that goes on over there. I live right behind the ski park, and I don't let my kids go out to play simply because of the parking concerns. So, and ensuring we have adequate parking, I would say was probably one of my largest concerns to make sure that we have that in space. With regard to pickleball, I'm an avid tennis player, but I do agree that it's a dying sport. And I'd like to see more green space rather than more tennis courts. If the last time you've seen a group of people playing tennis, it's been a long, very, very long time. And we have tennis courts within a reasonable distance for those who do enjoy it as a hobby. But as it pertains to a competitive sport, having more soccer space and having more baseball space, cross space, I don't know if this is up for discussion, but I would consider removing the tennis courts and putting more soccer space or other green space. The fact of the matter is I've got 5 kids underneath the age of 12. They're all in sports. And our having to move the Burgess Park or Heritage Park, which are actually a lot more dangerous than what is being proposed today, having to take my kids back and forth, having this additional green space would be extremely beneficial for the locals, for our residents. I think from Cedar Hills, we're limited in space. The fact is, we have a small amount of space. It's taken 17 or however many years to get this approved. If we don't take this shot now, I think we're really going to be missing out. Thanks.
Thank you. I saw another
hand. Sorry, I'll be quick.
Kate Smith, 4640 West Green Avenue, North Cedarville. Thank you, appreciate your time. I've coached in the Lone Peak system for 8 years, baseball. I've played high school, college, been around baseball for a long time. I can tell you right now, Harvey Road is not a safety issue whatsoever. Hitting across that street is not a safety issue. 380 feet to the road, hitting out on a fly with an elevation. Been around the game of baseball quite a bit. There's no 14, 15-year-old that can do that. You see those things on YouTube. They're using different types of bats, different types of balls, high velocity. It's not going to happen. Again, been around, coached a lot of kids, done a lot of tryouts here. I don't see any kids that can get on 360 in that age group. So, not a safety issue there. I do want the foul balls concerned. Maybe just brought a little bit more light with fencing and netting. I have been around enough ball fields, and anybody who takes safety not serious is, I've taken a ball to the face. I've had reconstructive surgery on my face. It's a serious thing. But foul balls and kids playing there and getting distracted, that could be a real thing. So maybe some netting along the way to cover the cars, because that is a real issue. Kids will hit foul balls and they can't control them. But baseball is very much needed. As somebody who's as passionate as I am about the sport and what it brings, and the limited use that we have here in the city, it is time that we pull our weight and contribute to the Lone Peak system, farming our kids out to other fields and to other communities. From a responsibility standpoint, that's something that I take serious. As someone who serves and tries to help these kids grow and develop, baseball is a very fast-growing sport. As someone who tries to get cage time in the winter, cages are completely full, like giving kids opportunities to hit. These are kids that are going out of their way during the winter months to get ready for the year. I've coached travel ball, I've coached city ball, I've been on boards, and I'm telling you right now, baseball is growing extremely fast in our community, and it's something we need to address. And so I am sad that it went from three fields to one. When I first saw the drawings, I was three fields, and then I went to one, my heart was crushed. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Eric Larson, 4004 West Centennial. I just want to give a perspective. I agree with a lot of the things we just said, particularly not to miss this opportunity, because sit ground where we can open these fields up in the future, I don't think it's going to come, so I don't want to miss that back. But for me, from my perspective, I volunteer probably more time than I do work and spend with my family on the community, coaching baseball teams, soccer teams, basketball teams. And we just got back from an indoor facility right over here. And I serve, if I were to count, I'll go to a potato school, and I'll see, and I've coached half his class in something or another. And to say that the parents and the impact that it gives to the community, and that the kids, that the parents and kids don't benefit from this, I wanted to reflect on that. It's a big thing to have youth sports and to have community sports. I'm sure Greg and those guys in the recreational department have seen that. So as a parent who volunteers a lot of time and gets the opportunity to work with kids in baseball and other sports from whatever level they are at, I do think it's a big amenity to have. I wouldn't want to miss the boat on having a facility like this. And keep, you know, like you said, if we get pushed out of the Alpine, or we struggle to find fields and we have to try to encroach on churches and whatever fields we can find. I wanted to press the most, and because I coached so many, as soon as this came out, I got texts and emails all over the place. Eric, get together, talk about, you know, because they know that I'm involved. So I just want to know that the people, there are a lot of people, their voices would like to be heard. They couldn't be here tonight. They wanted someone to speak for them. So it's an important thing as a parent and a coach. I love touching their lives, and it's been something that's been with me, and I want our city to be a part of that. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Just make it really quick.
It's about not having them. It's about the pickleball. It's not having them. It's, you look into the sound walls, which would alleviate half of the sound right there. And then it also helps with the wind. You can play more on windy days because they're there. Every high school could have four courts put in them. Every church could put three courts in them. But if they're going to be put there, I would hope you'll look at the cost of sound proofing. You know, again, cuts out half the sound. And that's what most of the litigation or the lawsuits are about the sound. It's awful. So if you look into that, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Can you talk to my microphone, please?
Sorry,
go ahead. No, it.
Oh,
You need to go to the microphone.
Okay, sorry. What's the cost of the park? What are we bonding or spending to build the park, the whole cost?
I'm not bonding anything, but
okay.
Mr. Goodman will cover that when he comes back
okay.
to discuss.
And then second thing, right in Deerfield, because I live across from it, there are two baseball diamonds in that field. I never see anyone use them. Why is that? I'm not being funny. I'm just serious.
At the elementary school?
At the elementary school, there's two baseball, at least backstop, but I don't know baseball. Are they usable? Are they not? Is that a dumb question?
So they...
They're for kickball. The school uses them like for
baseball. You can't use them for real baseball.
No.
Oh.
No, there's no base, natural bases at there.
It's not set up as a baseball
no.
field. Oh, okay. It's got a backstop, and for someone who's ignorant, it looks like a baseball field. Okay.
In addition, I will also say that Alpine School District charges to use any of their field space. We can't just use their field space for free.
We have to pay for it anyway. Okay.
Yes.
And then back to pickleball, yeah, it's. Everyone loves parks or stadiums as long as they're not next to them, because we live next to them in this gated community. All the people there, the parking, the traffic, and then the noise, the pickleball. Please go to youtube.com and listen to, youtube.com, pickleball noise. And after 5 minutes of that, seriously, if you've been around it, I've been around it in other communities, it's a huge deal. If you don't live there, it's like, hey, I love pickleball. But if you live across the street and like Sam, Tom did, 800, 900, 1,000 feet away, it's like cracking walnuts together. It's really noisy. It's really annoying. And pickleball, I think, is really sort of a fad. Yeah, it's sort of cool now, but what was pickleball doing 5 years ago? Tennis is dropping off. I just don't see pickleball 10, 15 years from now. I'm glad there's only three, but like someone else said, if we could just have green space or maybe more soccer fields, or maybe move the pickleball to the south where there's no houses.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here? Yes.
Hi, my name is Colleen Brown, 9610 North Old Orchard Lane. So I am one of the neighbors who will be affected every day of our lives. When we first moved here about 16 years ago, we didn't even have a through road right next to the house. I'm right on the end. We've got a through road. We deal with all the traffic from overflow elementary school events and things. I think that I just want to represent those of us who are here and would prefer not to have the baseball field. A lot of us here, and I'm also representing a lot of our neighborhood teams, V-team, lots of our neighborhood. So that's a whole neighborhood. And when it is a new neighborhood, it's something that we will deal with every day. But the most important thing, I mean, the noise is worrisome, and the parking and the traffic. I'm sure there's going to be some car issues on that road because it's already congested. I witness it every day and look out my window literally on the road. I'm right next to the road. So I am very concerned. I have six children. They each have a dozen or so friends. We're there in our backyard constantly. I know that maybe a little guy hitting the ball couldn't hit it very far. I'm worried about the circumstance where maybe an older team or something comes to play, even if they're not supposed to, and could hit a ball. I'm just worried about the safety of my children and their friends because we live there. We're there every single day. And I am all for sports. I've got kids in competitive sports. I understand the passion that comes when you want to play, but I would just ask to be considerate of the neighbors who look out the windows and deal with that day after day and think about if that were your own house and if that were your own neighborhood. And if you were legitimately worried about your children and grandchildren, their friends, who would be, right there by that road, to just consider them and their safety and respect for the neighbors. Thank you.
Joel Jensen, 9620 North Broadway Road, right on that corner as well, so across from the park is proposed to be built. My biggest concern is obviously traffic, the amount of usage. There aren't enough baseball fields already. I just see it as a way for all the surrounding cities to come and into my backyard where it presents problems for my kids. I live on that road at night, and I already hear cars zooming up and down that road as soon as I get past the speed bump. I hear it was like a drag race that goes right by my house every evening. The more people that are there, the more cars will be there. It's sort of danger. I don't want them to go out past our neighborhood because of the amount of cars and traffic. And Deerfield has an event, and it's a disaster park in us. It's made with a bunch of baseball fields and pickleball and ice court, and it's trying to get it worse and worse and worse. And that area becomes a safety concern in my family. It's already cost me thousands of dollars personally building up a concrete wall to try to safeguard people that will use this park in my personal property. So it's cost me a personal toll already. I understand sports, I play sports for a while. It's not that I'm not favorite park, but I think some of the usage has to be looked at. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that hasn't had an opportunity? I'm always impressed when they do show up and they don't have to be here. Any of the boys want to speak? Okay.
Oh, challenge.
Driving all the way to Alpine waste gas. And gas costs money. So I'd rather drive less.
Can you just tell me your name?
Jack Kruger. Thank you. Bye.
Anyone else? All right, we're going to go ahead and close the public comment. Mr. Goodwin will come back up to answer any questions of the council. I just want to let everyone know that this is not a redo action item, so the council isn't voting on anything tonight. It's a discussion. The park has already been approved by the council at our December meeting. At this point, what staff is looking for is direction from the council on amenities and how to proceed with the contractor.
Can I take a moment for a wish to concern?
Absolutely.
Hope I get to the majority of not all things everything's writing them down. If I skip one, please let me know. But and I'm probably not gonna hit it in order, so bear with me. I think hearing the neighbors there, it was, as you consider the park in general, you've got to say, you want to be considerate of the neighbors in the area. And you've got to understand what are the nuisances that, what are the nuisances that are trying to be mitigated? And I think we've kind of identified them as, parking, lighting, noise.
Safety
isn't really much of a nuisance as much as a hazard, but I put it in there. I think that's kind of the overarching theme here, so let's talk about that. Let's start with traffic. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I will. This park cannot be built, and traffic on Harvey Boulevard will increase just due to the East-West Connector going through the The sad nature of this road is that it will be a convenient access point for east-west traffic as it heads to the airport. So traffic on Harvey is going up regardless of what we do.
And I just want to add to that for anyone who isn't aware of that street. We're talking where Harvey connects to North County Boulevard. The approval has already been given for a road, if you call it east-west connector, but it will actually be. It will cut through that developmental center land south of Lone Peak and connect to American Fork. That's been approved by UDOT, by Highland, and by the county. And so Canyon Road will connect all the way to American Fork via Harvey Boulevard.
Yeah. You would be viewed the land by the Walmans.
I don't know what that in the Pleasant Grove, that's up to them if they're going to extend it or not, but the connection will be there because it already comes from Canyon Road to North County Boulevard. It will extend west all the way to American Fork.
Right, that's the right corner is the land of PG, right?
It's PG, it bottlenecks a little bit, but you can still drive from Canyon Road.
You can drive it, but yeah.
And there's a discussion in Pleasant Grove about why.
Pleasant Grove's going to discuss that because that impacts them as well, since it will be considered a collector road through multiple cities at this point. And I'm sorry. I'm happy to answer questions after the meeting, but we really need to keep it at the council. If for anyone who has questions on that, please stay after. We're happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Sorry about parking. The Highland splash pad has 57 designated stalls around it. This one has 130 designated stalls. We're parking. We're
trying to park this car, this park appropriately. And yes, there are amenities that will draw in, but I kind of think that if this was basic economics, because you have more of something, you lose that. So not everyone's going to be going to Harvard, they're going to Mesquite, they're going to be coming here, they're not going to be coming here, they're going to be going to Highland. Having more options pushes people to more places, I think, generally think that. And so I do think we are drawing in other communities, but we've always tried to do that with our rec program to a certain extent. On the safety for balls in Harvey Boulevard, there's a berm here, and it's, you can't see it in this picture, but from the sidewalk to about here, it drops off about 5 or 6 feet. So in order to get the ball to that 380-foot mark to hit that curb gutter, you've actually got to hit it a lot harder because you've got to get up and over that berm that raises the level quite a bit. But that does not that doesn't alleviate concern about foul balls. This is Heisel's Hollow Park. You're all familiar with Heisel's Hollow. We drive by it every day, I imagine. But I'll show you from home plate to about this point is 380 feet. That's a good hit. Now granted, that sits down low to the ground. It, like once again, you can kind of visualize it with this park that as you hit the ball, you've got to get it up over that land and hit it into Canyon Road. We don't have complaints about kids hitting the ball on Canyon Road. I don't really think that this is a major concern, is the ball being hit in Canyon Road or into Harbor Boulevard. With the foul ball fencing, though, that is a concern because I don't know if there's a way to stop that completely. Even with our driving range, that's when we initially put them in. And then we came back after a number of years with a number of complaints, and we raised those nets, but occasionally the ball still goes over. I think that staff can go back to the fencing company and say, you know, give us a bid on take this fence rather than end up here, take it down here, to be parallel with first base and raise it 10 feet to be 10 feet. What's that going to cost us? We can explore that. We have time. This isn't going in next week. So I think that, yes, I don't want to say, I don't want to trivialize anybody's concerns about kids getting into balls. Somebody sent an article that, according to Sports Illustrated, 52 people have died from foul balls since 1887. That's actually a really strikingly low number, given the number of foul balls that were hit. And I don't want to trivialize anything, but it doesn't happen a whole lot. But we can be aware of the issues, and we can be aware of the problem in that. So that's why I think it may be wise to go and say, okay, look, what's it going to take for us to, because if you bring that ball, that fence out just a little bit further, it's not going to catch all the balls, but it's going to really reduce the amount that get hit into this parking out area or this pedestrian area through here. So, especially even if it's just along this first baseline, I think that may be a beneficial conversation to have.
I'm sorry, can we ask you after the meeting? Do you want to discuss with us
what we need to keep it? Like I said, I just don't see a whole lot of congruent sports here where baseball and soccer are being played at the same time. Typically, when soccer is being played, it's using a baseball field too. That's the plan. And we can explore that option and look at that cost, but I don't see that as being played at the same time. There will be access to the trail on Murdoch Canal. That is, there's a number of points down here, or here, or here, or here, here, where you can access the trail. Highland and Alpine are growing, and they also feed our recreation program. They don't have their cities don't run a recreation program themselves. So we go into their cities and we advertise and we push their kids to our sports. And so where we use their fields, vice versa is true as well, is that they come here to play soccer, they come here to play football. We want that to be the case. We have a very friendly relationship with those communities, and we're going to continue to do so. We want to be able to accommodate our growing recreation programs, our growing recognition. Talked about fencing alternatives. I think that there's a value to youth sports. I'll piggyback on Aaron just speaking about that there is a value to youth sports, but there's a value to all youth sports, not just baseball. But
whatever support you're in, I genuinely feel like there's a value to that individual. And then the cost of the park, Charlie, you're going to have to help me out with this. What's the total cost of the park?
Hey, cost of the park for phase one is estimated just over $4 million. And to put that in perspective, I know that sounds like a lot, but the new park in Saratoga Springs is $11.2 million. So we're doing this very inexpensively compared to other cities.
And we're not going into debt for it.
Yeah, we're not bonding. Can you discuss a little bit about the different ways that it's being funded, the different portions?
So the Harvey Boulevard widening and the street lights are funded by street impact fees. And then we also have grading, storm drain improvements are funded by storm drain funding. And then our capital projects fund, which we set aside money for, is capturing the landscaping, the trees, the play equipment, and the courts.
So I think those are the concerns that I wrote down. Sorry if I skipped one, but.
All right, so council, I'm putting it to you now for any questions for Mr. Goodwin, discussion, and then direction.
Let me add that like Mary said, this isn't a review action. We're not asking you to decide anything about it. Really, we're coming back to report. We awarded the bid on December 18th. And since that time, we had a preliminary meeting with the construction company that was awarded the bid and expressed some of the concerns that we have about some of the individual line items that were bid upon and how we wanted to see some of these change. And this, we had that follow-up with meeting with him, and we wanted to come back and say, where initially we were leaving out the three pickleball courts, we believe we're cautiously optimistic that those could be phased in phase one. There was the concerns that brought up on December 18th about the baseball diamond, and we've gone in, and I feel like I've spoken quite a great deal about that, but we feel like we can alleviate most of those concerns. I don't want to ever say all of them, because accidents happen in every sport, but I feel like our facility here for baseball will be just as safe, if not safer, than many of the buildings around here.
So, could I speak?
Absolutely.
Okay, as a 20-year resident of the city, I just want to say thank you, Chandler, past council members, planning commissioners, city staff, for finally getting this park on the drawing boards. I live really close. I live three houses away from the park. So I have four sons. They've all moved away now, so I probably won't get to use much, but my grandkids, hopefully, that I have, will have more someday, will. And as a fan of all sports, I coach Little League in the former Highland Baseball League, which is now Little League, I guess, for America, for many years. And I think sports and team sports, as well as individual type sports, are such a character builder for our youth. I'm so... Even today, I have kids. It's been my son that I coached in that age group till he was 12 through All-Stars and all that stuff is now 23. So we're talking 11 years removed from it. But I coached for about 5 or 6 years, and I still have kids that I see at grocery stores, just events around town that come up and say thank you or, hey, coach. Still call me that, and what a great thing that is. And so for you organized sports people, thank you for what you do. For the rest of us that live here, I just want to say I wasn't fan of I was fan of we should probably bond for this, because that's the fairest way to pay for parks, in my opinion. I think it's not just the money that has been saved up. I mean, I've been putting into this fund, whatever, as a taxpaying resident of the city for 20 years, I've been paying fees and things, which is great, but the value of the park goes on for many years. And so the fairest real way to pay for parks is to bond for it, because the people that use it, like you use your house, you pay for it over time. So if I were to move out of my house right now, and someone that would were to buy my house, they get all the value that I put into that park basically for nothing. So having said that, that's just my personal opinion. But I'm very grateful for Charles and staff to have come up with a way to fund this. And I think funding at least most of it, we're getting about two-thirds of what we would like probably at this point out of funds that we have. So we're not putting the city into any more debt, which I also support, and I don't think we need to. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. I just wanted to say one other thing that, and it's been missed just a little bit, but we talked about it in our work session, but the crowning jewel of this is that I think as a city, we host a pretty cool family festival every summer. And I think this will be a focal point of where we can gather as a community each summer. And just, I mean, we enjoy Heritage Park, it's just a little cramped, a little tight. And I think this will give us some more room, and I hope that we'll all be able to enjoy this in the park for our family festival in years to come. As the trees grow and the pavilion gets built and other things happen, I think it's such a great thing for us. And, you know, it's been said, we're friends with Lone Peak High School, American Fork High School, the city of Highland, the city of Alpine, the city of Pleasant Grove, the city of American Fork. We welcome those people into our city. And so to say that we should exclude other communities from coming and using our parks, I just don't think that's the kind of city we want to be known as. We want to be a welcoming city. I think there's room for us all. We didn't get everything that we wanted. There's compromise in everything. We didn't get three ballparks. We're gonna get one, all right? We didn't get a pool. You know, that was a hot topic for a long time. We got a splash pad. A lot of compromise. Thank you very much for the staff. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for coming. Holy cow, that's fantastic. I hope you've seen here how serious we take everybody's concerns and feedback, and how serious staff has been in taking this. Back. We're looking to get the fences bigger, we're looking at safety, we're looking at everything will be taken into account. With regards to traffic and putting the red line on the other side of the park, you're all top of our mind too. So just know that everything's been heard and everything is going to be looked at. We will do the best we can to do the right solutions to make this work. I have lots of concerns about the foul ball stuff too. That I brought up last time, and especially I absolutely love baseball. I watch it all the time. And you get the major league sluggers, those are the ones that are causing the big injuries. In the major league baseball, they're extending their netting for line drive foul balls. So we're not going to see those with Little League, but we still see dangerous stuff. So I just appreciate the raising those concerns, and I know that our staff will find the answers. We'll make this as safe as we possibly can.
I appreciate the work that the staff did between last council meeting and this council. My thoughts previously was we can't have a backstop, we can't have sand in the infield. You know, we can't do it right, let's hold off until phase two, where we can do it right. Now, staff has been able to work with the construction company and design to find out how we can make the baseball plan in phase one by diverting money from some more utility type things, such as the building, and some materials, some aesthetics, and diverting those funds into something that the community can use. And maybe it doesn't look quite as pretty for the first while, but there are more things to do. I played Little League. I appreciate that there is definitely a segment that is all into it. As the other council member said, that you know, we're not going to get everything that we like. Okay, there's a lot of stuff that we do. This is going to be a gathering place. there are pickleballs the same popular. I talked to my father today, who's 76 years old, and he's been wanting to play pickleball. And it's easy. You only have to find one other person to go play a game. It's a lower impact sport where people with more a broader range of physical abilities can participate, as opposed to tennis. I hope that we can use some mitigation for the sound. I am mindful of that for the residents in the area. I'm sure that there's something that can be done to mitigate that. It's the sound fancy with greenery with trees. I think we're getting a lot at this park up front without going to the edge. And I think that's something that I can be proud of. And then, you know, it'll progress. Basically, we're getting more. And it'll just get better and better. And we'll get it down for our
community. Councilor Bailey Anderson?
Yeah. On December 18th, I was going to be a little bit against the plan because it cut out the baseball park and my boys don't play baseball, but I've got a daughter who plays softball competitively, so I sympathize with some of these folks who have to go to Salt Lake and wherever just to find field space to play top county teams. I personally wish you would have selected it at 3. I think this is more than a fair compromise, especially not making the baseball field a permanent baseball field. I would like to actually see a permanent baseball field and not cut that out and share it with lacrosse or other sports. There's plenty of other fields that are, but you know, I'll compromise. As we go forward, this park has been in the works for like 20 years, and after each meeting that we talk about this, we start getting land-based with emails and this and that, and I just invite the public to visit our website and see the master plan. This isn't a new design. This isn't something that we just discussed on December 18th and said, hey, let's go down and buy a piece of property out of the blue and create this. I mean, this has been here for 20 years. And it seems like we discussed this a lot. And it's not just this park, but it was the Bay Hill Park and other parks. And so I get the frustration, because the Bay Hill Park affected my neighborhood, and I get the frustration, but I want to go on record and invite the citizens to please look at our master plan, because this isn't just something that just dropped out of the sky. This has been in the works for a long time, long before I've been here, and it'll be here long after I leave, so.
I'm just going to reiterate what Councilor Ellsworth said. I really appreciate everybody paying your time and share feedback. We also received several emails over the last few weeks, and it's wonderful to have that feedback. And I hope I hear everyone anyway through the presentations that Mr. Goodwin showed tonight, that everyone can see that as we receive that feedback, we try to incorporate a lot of that feedback into the plans, and that's why it's changed so much from what it was 17 years ago and even changed from what it was a year ago. So again, council meeting tomorrow, because it's not really a back and forth discussion, but if anyone has additional questions, we're welcome to answer those questions tonight after the meeting. And if questions come up after the meeting, please call us or email us. I know everyone here is happy to continue to answer questions or to hear what you have to say and as we continue to progress with this park. So Mr. Goodwin and I are usually available almost every day to meet with residents if you would like to meet with us as well. So please know we'd like to continue to have that conversation if you have additional questions. If I don't have anything else from the council.
Can I just give a couple follow-up questions?
Yes.
Staff's going to take some time to look into a couple of things. One is pickleball noise mitigation.
Yes.
Sound walls. the grade, the courts do sit down lower than the ground, not flush with the streets, a little lower. That also led us to landscaping, see what we can do, put it back to council and board. Phase plans are not on the website, but I will put this rendering on the website tomorrow, so it should be up there. And we'll follow up with the council on the fencing and foul balls.
This is in the packet for today, though, isn't it?
It's in the packet, but it's easier to get to with the Harbor Park, just this page right on the website.
But if anyone does want to look at it tonight, it's in the council packet.
It's there.
For today, okay.
Make it a clear.
Open it to a couple places. Do you feel like you received what you needed from the council?
Yeah, are there any questions as far as where we're going, as far as what we're going back to the construction company with? Because they're hoping to start work very, very soon. We're wrapping up the contract, and then we're hoping to see some pre-con meetings, and then people on site.
And you have your direction from the council?
I'm just really happy with what you guys have done to make sure you're within cost and all that. So,
I love what you did on the building. I mean, there's a contract for myself, and you can save time. I thought this would be practical.
All right, I will take a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Councilor Ellsworth. I'm sorry. Don't do that.
Another item.
What's that?
I have another agenda item.
Which one?
Bridgestone.
We did that.
We already did it.
Sorry.
It's been approved.
It went that fast, yeah.
All right. Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Geddes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Your turn.